sitting looking at my coffee cup this morning. I normally have a glass of water I bring up here, and I thought it was pretty fitting. And I make sure Facebook sees that. And, put that right there. And I'm thankful for our country. Thankful for the men that founded our country. Thankful for the freedom we have today. Thankful for the First Amendment to give us the right to be here, the right to speak this morning. Thankful for the Second Amendment to protect it. And I practice them both this morning. So take that too, Facebook. Yeah. 2 Samuel chapter 23 this morning, verse number 8. 2 Samuel, if you'll stand, would you find your place there? So the verse number 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachamite, the set in the seat, the chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men of David. When they defiled the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harahite, right? And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground, defended it, and slew the Philistines. The Lord was it wrought a great victory. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time, into the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. I'm going to stop right there. My heart's burdened this morning for pastors in our country. To be honest with you here, I struggled yesterday trying to find God's will for the message. It's funny, Brother Deal mentioned the same thing about Sunday school, and I had the same trouble with the message. And you know, sometimes the Lord gives you a message days in advance. You know exactly what you're going to preach. And other times it's not that way, and you got to search. You got to pray and read and pray and read and go back and forth. And eventually, the Lord did give me this message yesterday. I realized I was looking to try to get, I've had some things in my heart and my mind and burdened about some things, and I've been trying to ignore that and find a message for you, and realize I was doing that in the wrong order. I can't preach anything to you if the Lord doesn't preach to me first. Amen. So I prayed, and the Lord give me something, and let me preach to you what he gave to me. That's what he did, and I'm going to do my best to bring that to you today. He encouraged me with it. I started thinking about some of the preachers in my own life who have stood the test of time standing now, but have stood for a long time. They stood before it was popular, who have been examples to me. Some have stood in the face of opposition and never backed down. I was encouraged, and I was challenged. And this passage here came to mind, the mighty men of David. In particular, these three mighty men, the main three mighty men, specially appointed to special task by King David. The best of the best of David's army, the strongest of the strongest, men who stood and fought no matter their odds, no matter their opposition, no matter the enemy, they decided to stand for what was right, even if it cost them their life. In our day, we need some men, we need some ladies, and some young men and young ladies who will choose to stand for right no matter the obstacle, no matter the enemy, no matter who may agree or may not agree with you. We need some folks who just stand for what's right. California, yesterday, we mentioned that this morning, a good pastor there. Brother, pastor there at North Valley Baptist Church, Jack Treber. The government officials came and posted, stuck, taped a paper on the door, cease and desist, or told them to quit having services. I don't care what some scientist says, this is beyond just a virus. This isn't about a virus anymore. I understand being sick. I understand that. I'm not trying to cross the line there, but they have crossed the line a long time ago. And I'm not that old, but I never thought I'd see this day in our country when a church would be ordered not to have a service. They're scared of getting sick. Never thought I'd see that. It's a sad day. It burdens my heart. There will come, and already has come for some, a day, even today for some pastors, who have to stand despite the opposition. Yeah, pastors in our own country, good men, having to stand despite being ordered to shut down the church. The question to you today is, are we ready to take a stand? Yes, are we willing to stand for what is right? Are you willing to stand? If it came down to it, what would you do? It's easy to talk about, but really when it came down to it, where would you stand? Where would you draw the line? Thankfully, they're not arresting pastors yet, but if and when they do, it won't be the first time it's happened. I'm going to give you a little bit of history here just for a second. I hope that's okay. Some Baptist history, then we'll get to the message. Yes, sir. You can read great men like James Ireland. There's a long story about him. I'm just going to give you the highlights of my own words here. James Ireland was born in Scotland, came to America in the mid-1700s. He didn't believe in God. He was not a Christian. he was asked to write a paper. He was a very smart man. He was asked to write a paper about something in the Bible, a certain passage of Scripture. He began to read the Scriptures, began burdened about it, and continued to read the Scriptures. And eventually, through reading the Bible, he found the gospel in the Scriptures, and he was saved. He believed it. He ended up coming to Sandy Creek Baptist Church and decided he wanted to be a separate Baptist. So he went to the Sandy Creek Baptist Church in Sandy Creek, North Carolina. He met Samuel Harris, a young, fiery preacher. He followed Harris to Pennsylvania County, Virginia, where he was baptized into the Dan River Baptist Church there in Virginia. And from there, he sent out as an itinerant preacher, as an evangelist. He'd go from church to church and spread the guy trying to plant a church. He was burdened about Culpeper County, Virginia. Okay, they had no Baptist church, no clear gospel-presenting churches there in the county. That's where he wanted to go. He made his plans known to the community. He began preaching. The magistrates told him he would be arrested if they found him preaching the gospel. And also whoever owned the land he was preaching on, they had arrested the landowner as well. He didn't care. He went and preached anyway. He said, God called me to preach, I'm going to preach. He talked to the landowner. The landowner said, you do what you have to do. I'm not worried about getting arrested. You preach the gospel, the believer. So James Ireland, the preacher, he went and found a table and put two legs on one side of the property line, two legs on the other side of the property line. He said, I won't be on your land no more than their land. We'll be okay. So he jumped up on the table and preached on the table. That way it wasn't on anybody's property. It was on everybody's property. It didn't matter. The magistrates came. They grabbed him by his collar, ripped him down off the table. And they said, what are you doing? He said, preaching the gospel. Amen. They said, who gave you the authority to preach? He said, this is his quote, he that was the author of the gospel had the right to send forth whom he qualified to dispense it. As you can imagine, they didn't like that. They arrested him, threatened to arrest everyone that listened to him and believed him if they didn't denounce what he said. The entire congregation said, we believe it, go ahead and arrest us. And they changed their minds so they couldn't do that. Jail wasn't big enough. So they left with just the preacher, satisfied with just arresting him. They threw him in the Culpeper Jail. I've been there myself. It's still standing, Culpeper Jailhouse. He was abused. He had rocks thrown at him as he's walking through the jail. He'd been locked up. It's recorded the entire first night he was there, he had rocks and sticks thrown through the jail cell bars, hitting him while he's trying to sleep. All for preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. In our country, at one point they dug a hole under the jail. The magistrates wanted him dead. He was burdened about Culpeper County. They were burdened to get him out of Culpeper County. So they dug a hole underneath the jail cell, filled it with gunpowder, and set it off. It didn't go off. They tried to poison his food. It didn't work. As a last resort, they got the old town drunk, and they arrested him. They threw him in the jail cell with the preacher, thinking the town drunk would beat the preacher to death. The preacher became a friend to the drunk, gave him his coat, tried to make him warm, shared his cot with him so he could stay warm through the cold winter there in the jail cell. The preacher began to teach him how to read and how to write, showed him the scriptures, told him how to read the Bible. That old drunk eventually got saved. The drunk became the preacher's bodyguard. Somebody tried to hurt him, the drunk would stand in the way and wouldn't let him get to the preacher. He was there for over a year. Finally got out of jail, went straight to the governor's office and asked for permission to preach in Culpeper County. He had to go through a lot of loopholes and had to go behind the walls of the Anglican Church, do different things. He finally got permission, written permission from the governor of Virginia to preach in Culpeper County. He took it, went back to the magistrates at his trial. He said, here you go, here's my paperwork. They didn't like it, nothing they could do. Through that and through many other trials and tribulations, he started the First Baptist Church in Culpeper County. Amen. In our country, Virginia. That was in 1769 through 1774. That's how long he fought that battle, 5 years, 2 years before we won our independence from England. Over a dozen different preachers thrown in that same jail cell in Culpeper County, Virginia. All that being said, I'm not ready to give up any ground to sacred religious liberty. I'm not ready to give anything up. I'm not about to do it. I'm not ready for it. All that is just a little introduction to what I want to preach on today. Are you willing to stand for what's right? We don't have just our own history book to look back on. I'm thankful for what we do. There's a lot more examples we can find, even biblical examples we can find for men who stood when it was unpopular, stood for what was right. Look back with me again in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 8 through 12. See, verse number 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. The Philistines came together and gathered together and came into a field full of lentils. That lentils is kind of odd. There's some disagreements on exactly what kind of vegetable that is, whatever it is, but the best explanation I can find is a pea. It's a type of pea, a little small pea. The Philistines have come, and they're facing against the nation of Israel in a pea patch. And Israel fled from the Philistines. But Shammah, the mighty man, stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Did you catch it? All of Israel fled It says, and the people fled. They all left. But he stood, as far as I can tell, by himself in the middle of a pea patch. And he said, Definity slew the Philistines. Shammah said, you ain't coming to take my pea patch. You ain't taking my pea patch. I know that's not grammatically correct. That's okay. I'm going to preach a little while this morning on you ain't taking my pea patch. We need some men that will stand up despite the opposition and say, you know what? You ain't taking it. I don't know if anyone in here would be okay with a thief coming into your home and taking what you've rightly earned. I don't think any man in here would allow a thief to come into his home and take what he's worked for, provide for his family. If you would, we need to talk after service. Don't let that happen. I don't think you would. I preached last week on that, the spiritual battle. I guess I'm going to hit some of that again this week. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is walking about seeking whom he may devour. What about you? What about your home? Are you aware? What about your children? What about the mind of your children? What about your marriage? Your husbands? What about your wife? Your wife? What about your husbands? Are you willing to stand and to defend and fight for your pea patch? Amen. We want to stand and say, you know what? You ain't taking my pea patch. You might not say it that way, but you ought to. You might say, preacher, how exactly are we to defend our pea patch? What are you talking about? What are we defending from? How can we defend against somebody we didn't see? What are we supposed to do? I'm glad you asked. Let's look at this couple of verses here and see what we can learn from these two verses here in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Number one, how do we defend our pea patch? Number one, we need to be watching. Verse number 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. We ought to be watching over our pea patch. We all have a pea patch to watch over. The Lord has chosen to allow me to pastor New Hope Baptist Church. I count this church as part of my pea patch. You say, preacher, why are you so hard? Why are you so picky about doctrine and things like that? Because you ain't taking my pea patch. Amen. The Lord has placed me here to serve this church and try my best to follow the Lord and lead the church in the way he would have it to go. I'm not about to let false doctrine. I'm not about to let false Bibles in until God tells me to leave. I plan to stand in my pea patch and defend it and guard it. Amen. Even before that, God gave me a family. I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't taking that pea patch. It's not going to happen. Just the other day, my kids, they're watching a little cartoon, and I happened to be there and started to overhear what was going on in the cartoon. This little toddler's Disney cartoon was trying to push sodomy on toddlers. I'm not okay with that. You say, you're just being paranoid. They were delivering a baby, storks, whatever, delivering a baby. You know the fairy tale there. Anyway, they were singing a song about how all you need to have to make a family is love. And it's had pictures of different two dads and two moms and a single mom and a single dad. Doing away with biblical marriage and traditional marriage. I've never been so mad at a little cartoon character in my life. Well, granted, she had covered in rainbows and different things like that. Needless to say, that will not be played in our house again. Amen. I was ashamed. Who was responsible for that? I am. It scared me, convicted me. It scared me. Thankfully, I was there to see it happen. We have to be careful. You say, oh, preacher, you're just paranoid. No, I don't think so. You need to be watching over a pea patch. Are you watching? You fathers, do you know what's going on inside your pea patch? Do you know what your teenagers are doing? You know what they're listening to, what you're saying, how they're talking? It's not just the fathers, but about your mothers. What about it? Are you too busy? Are you watching? Something I see here in this passage, I believe they were in a harvest season. You say, how can you say that? Because it says the ground was full of lentils, not full of seeds, full of lentils, and the people fled. So apparently there was a crowd down there at the pea patch picking and harvesting the field. I believe it's harvest time. They're harvesting. You know what? You know what? One of the easiest times to lose our focus and stop watching over our pea patches when we're busy working. I've done it. I do it. I get so busy just in the work of the ministry that I'll often lose focus on watching over my pea patch. I get so busy with this pea patch, I forget about that pea patch, and vice versa sometimes. You get busy, you forget to watch out for the enemy. And have any of you ever been too busy to watch over your pea patch? Any of you parents so busy with work and with bills and with life and with family and business, you forget your little pea patch back at home. Don't forget about your children while you're too busy harvesting. Yes, the harvest is necessary. You husbands, don't get so busy working you forget your pea patch, your wife back at home. Wife's the same way with the husbands. Don't forget to watch over your family. Yes, work is necessary. So is harvest. It's necessary. Don't forget to continue watching over your pea patch while you work. The enemy caught them by surprise. They weren't watching. Not only is harvest time a time of work, but harvest time is a time of joy. Harvest time is a happy time. a joyous time. Yes, it's busy and they're working, but you are reaping the benefits of the seeds they sowed back at the beginning of the season. You know when it's easy to forget to watch over your pea patch? When things are going good, when you're happy and joyous, and you think there's no trouble anywhere. When we are on the mountaintop, we are enjoying life. Everything is fine and dandy. All the bills are paid and we're sitting pretty. That's when we get lazy on God. That's when we forget to pray and thank God for what he's done for us. That's when we forget to praise him for where he has brought us from. When times are easy, it's easy to quit watching. That's right, when the enemy will sneak in, will sow some wild oats in your children's mind, and when you'll lose sight of God and yourself, and you'll begin to backslide. It's easy to pray and remember God when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's easy to remember God then because you're scared to death and you need him. But at harvest time, when things are joyous, when things are going easy, that's often we lose sight of him. It's often we let our foot off the gas, if you will, and begin to take it slow, maybe not read our Bible like we used to, maybe not pray like we used to, maybe not be as spiritual as we once tried to be. Any of this sound familiar to you? Maybe it's just me, I don't know. I've been there. How do we defend our pea patch? You ought to be watching, constantly watch. Don't lose sight of God and his work and his will for your life. Don't forget the objective. You say, what's the objective? Someone shared this with me this week, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know what our duty is? Fear God and keep his commandments. You know what that means for a New Testament believer? Follow the Bible. Just follow his word. Follow his commandments. Follow what he's told you to do. In verse 14, in Ecclesiastes 12, it says, God shall bring every work into judgment. Let God handle the judgment. We're just to keep following him and keep his word. Don't lose sight of the objective. Don't forget to keep watching. Keep his word. How do we defend our pea patch? Keep a watch over it. Be aware of what's going on. Nehemiah, we looked at him about a year ago now. We preached a series on him. He was sent by God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They knew they had enemies all around them. What did he do? He set a watch. He says, with one hand they held a sword, with the other hand they worked. He had a job to do. God gave him a job to do, and all the enemy wanted to do was ruin it. What did he do? He set a watch. The verse I read earlier, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because you're adversary of the devil. You know the verse. You know what that word vigilant means? It means to watch. 1 Peter says, be sober and be watching, because your adversary of the devil is roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Get your head out of the sand. The devil is at work today. He's doing all he can today to ruin your home, ruin your church, ruin our nation, ruin your family and your marriage. Are you watching? Are you aware of what's going on? Are you watching yourself? Care for those temptations? Do you see what's going on around you? You better watch. The enemy's on his way. Are you watching? Number two, how do we defend our pea patch? Not only ought to be watching and aware of what's going on, ought to be willing. Verse 11, again, 2 Samuel 23. After him was Shammah, the son of Agee, the Hararite, and the Philistines gathered together into a troop where it was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. And the people fled. Why did they flee? Because they were caught off guard. They weren't watching. They were scared. They fled. Trouble came. They said, I'm out of here. Why? Because they're not willing to stand and fight. They're not willing to pay the price. They're not willing to be different. They're not willing to face a little opposition to defend their pea patch. Oh, but thanks be to God, he had a man, a Shammah, who was willing to be different, who was willing to stand up and say, you know what? You ain't taking my pea patch. Lord, give us this land. This is our land. This is our harvest. My family needs these lentils back at home. You're not taking it. This is our ground that God has given us. Do we have any folks that are willing to defend the pea patch? Sometimes that might mean being the bad guy. You fathers, sometimes it's okay to be the bad guy. It's not fun. It's okay. It might not be popular to stand for what's right. Your kids may not like it, probably won't. Sometimes maybe your wife might not like it. That's not popular to say. But if God said it, you'll be willing to stand and defend it. Do you have anyone willing to stand? Have any godly mothers here that would say, you're not taking my children, you're not taking my people out? Any mothers willing to stand and fight for your home? Want to stand and fight for your husband and protect your husband? Don't let the enemy have it. Don't let him have him. Don't hand it over to Satan. Satan is a liar. Don't listen to him. Don't give it up. We have any young people who want to stand to be different. As far as we can tell in this passage, Shammah was the only one that stayed and fought against the Philistines. Are you willing to be different than everybody else? It's no longer popular to go to church. It's no longer popular to stand for what's right. It's no longer popular to pray over your meal in public. It's no longer popular to tell other folks about the gospel. It doesn't make it wrong. My pastor said many times, what is popular is not always right, and what is right is not always popular, but what is right is always right. Are you willing to stand in the face of the battle? We stand in the face of the enemy. It's easy to say we'll stand when there's no enemy marching towards us. When the hard times come, when the enemy is breathing down your neck, that's when you're going to have to decide if you're willing to stand for what is right. You want to take some, willing to fight some battles. You want to be different, willing to take on some trials because it's for right. I don't know what's coming in our country. I never expected to see what I'm seeing now in my own life. I'm not that old, but I didn't expect to see this. I don't know what else is coming. But we better be watching. We better be praying. We better be seeking God's face. That's what's going to take to be willing to stand in the face of the enemy, stand in the battle. My heart goes out to the pastors today who are standing despite being ordered to close them. My heart goes out to them. I don't even know them. I'm thankful for them. It's a challenge to me as a young pastor to stand. Not being reckless with health or different things, not just being rebellious or taking precautions, trying not to let people get sick, but they're not willing to bow to the overreaching enemy. They're willing to obey God rather than man. Amen. Are you willing to stand? Church, we need to think about it. Pray about it. When it comes down to it, would you be willing? If it really came down to that, if I had to do the same thing, I hope that we'd be willing. I don't expect that to happen here in rural Alaska, but I didn't expect that to happen anywhere else either. We need to be prepared. We need to be watching. Be willing to stand. Willing to pay the price to defend our people. Willing to be different. Not only watching, not only willing, but ought to be unwavering. Verse number 12. But he stood in the midst of the ground, defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. What does the Bible say? It says he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. What does that mean? Slew the Philistines, what does that mean? It's pretty simple. I think he killed every one of them that was there. Right. Everyone was trying to defeat Israel, he killed them. Notice also it says he stood in the midst of it. He didn't try to hide in the corner. He boldly standing right in the middle of the field and said, come get it. You're not going to have it. We need to be watching. You're willing. We need to be unwavering. Amen. I'm thankful that Shammah didn't swing his sword and then retreat. He stood and continued to stand right in the midst of the battle in the field until he slew every one of them. Yeah. Are you going to be unwavering? You're going to be faithful. What was right in 2019 is still right in 2020. Even better than that, what was right in 1960, biblically, is still right in 2020. What was right in history is still right in 2020. What was right in 1774 for James Island is still right in 2020 for this church here. Right is always right. Well, preacher, we just need to get with the times. You know, preacher, it's a new normal. I hate hearing that word. Well, we are in a different days than we were before. You better believe we are. That's why it's more important than ever for a church to be unwavering, be faithful. We ought to be a place where somebody can see a foundation, some steadfastness. We ought to be steadfast. We ought to see some steadfastness in our homes. We ought to have a foundation in our homes. Father, if it was wrong in your house before, it's still wrong in your house today. Don't change. Don't back down. Don't give in. Be steadfast, unwavering. The enemy's going to do all he can to squash the church. I believe that. Satan's going to do all he can to discourage you and get you to quit. Do not quit now. Don't give up when it gets hard. I have to be honest, this past year, it's been a hard year. It's been hard for everybody. I'm no different than anybody else. It's been hard for everybody. I've always wanted to be here. I haven't always wanted to be here. It's not always fun. It's not always easy to do the work of the Lord. I'm ashamed to say I've not always been happy about it. But the fact of it is, God has not told me to change. The Bible hasn't changed. I'm supposed to stand despite the opposition until he tells me to change. By God's grace, I will not change. By God's grace, you ain't taking my pea patch. Are you willing? Are you going to be unwavering? Are you going to stand? Whether it's easy or it's hard, are you willing to stand? Whether it makes you popular or not, are you willing to stand? Whether it makes you money or not, are you willing to stand? Not only be willing, not only be watching and willing and unwavering, be on the winning side. Verse 12, he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. What's the last word? The Lord wrought a great victory. Not Shammah, not David, not anyone else. The Lord chose to use Shammah to wrought a great victory. You want to be, you know how to defend your pea patch? Be on the winning side. Be on the right side. Be with him. If you'll stand with God, you cannot lose. You may lose friends. You may lose popularity. You may lose money. You may even risk losing your life, but you will not lose the battle if you stand with God. You can't stand for God and lose at the same time. It might not be easy. You might not get all the results you hope you get. Everyone might not like your stance. Oh, but God will bless it, and God will use it, and he'll reward it. If you stand for God, you'll never be standing alone. Amen. But choose to do what's right and stay right, no matter who likes it or doesn't like it. God will bless it, and God will reward you for it. Not just because you think you're right, stand with what the Bible says. There's a lot of people that think there is. A lot of Muslims think they're right, willing to die for what they think is right. It doesn't make them right. So how do we know what's right? Follow the Bible, what the Bible says, and what God says. Nothing else. This book, and pray to the author of it and find what's right and stand for it. How do we defend our pea patch? Be watching. Be willing. Be unwavering. Be on the winning side. Are you willing to stand?
Church.
You fathers, are you willing to stand for your family? Maybe a grandfather in here. Are you willing to stand and be an example to your family, to your kids and to your grandkids? Maybe a mother or a grandmother. You're willing to stand. Maybe a young man or a young lady. Maybe you're not married yet. Are you willing to stand and be an example to those around you? We have a good crowd that's been coming to the youth group on Friday nights. I'm thankful for that. Amen. Young people here, you ought to be the examples to those young people. You ought to be able to look up to you and see something different in you. Are you willing to be different? Are you willing to stand? Are you going to stand? We need some folks who are just willing to just stand and say, you ain't taking my pea patch. Amen. Whether it's popular or not, just stand. Whether it makes you a lot of money or not, just stand. Whether everyone likes it or not, just stand. I don't know about you and how you feel, but I can promise you by God's grace, after reading this passage, you ain't taking my pea patch. Yeah. Natalie gave me this verse yesterday. Her life verse tried to get me to preach on it. I said, if you tell me to preach on it, I can't preach on it. But I am going to read it to you. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. You know what I get from that verse? Standing in my pea patch is not a waste of time. It's worth it. Seeing the little boy standing here and read the quote the scriptures this morning. It's worth it. Even biblical education, it's worth it. It's not free. You have to pay for that. It takes a lot of work.
Yep.
It's worth it. Standing and being different for your family, fathers, it's worth it. Church, being different, standing for God, it's worth it. Lord will use you. Lord will reward you for it. It may not make you popular. People may not like you. It's worth it.
Amen.
Will you stand?